This is an interview with Steve Conti for the Youngstown State University Oral History Program on the history of Lowellville. It's being conducted by Tom Kirker, or Mr. Conti's residence at Park Apartments.
Lowellville Park Apartments.
Lowellville Park Apartments on Northwood Street Extension, Lowellville, Ohio.
810 West Wood Street.
810 West Wood Street, Lowellville, Ohio. It's the 16th of July, 1985. The time is 11:45 in the morning. And Steve, my first question is, where and when were you born?
I was born in Lowellville in 1912.
Mm-hmm. And you were son of immigrants?
Yeah, my father, Ralph and Madeline Conti, my father came to Lowellville in 1896.
Uh-huh.
And there's a whole brief story, it'd be very interesting to you people. When my father came to Lowellville in 1894, he was working on a railroad, and then they call that, I tell immigrants what, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they said, okay. In 1895, they said, okay, you walk, get in the hand car.
Uh-huh.
They put him in the hand car, took him down to Newcastle, put him in a box car, and took him to Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh.
And they took him down in the post office. They said, put up your right hand. They put up their right hand, and they said, you're American citizens now. And then they said, okay, go across the street. They gave him a box lunch, and then they said, go across the street again and go over and vote for McKinley in 1896.
No kidding.
My dad voted, was a citizen and voted a Republican, voted for McKinley all in one day,
uh-huh.
1896.
That's good.
And he came back to Lowellville. That's how long my father's been in Lowellville.
Okay, we'll stop there for a second. You said your father voted for McKinley. Is that the first time and last time he ever voted Republican?
Who, my father?
Yeah.
No, my dad brought us up to vote for the character, he mm-hmm. called it. And he voted Democrat under Corcoran and Roosevelt come in at Lowell's Republican town, even though we had all ethnic groups here.
Uh-huh.
When Roosevelt came in, he just brought everybody over to mm-hmm. Democrats,
uh-huh.
like everybody else did. But my father was a great believer in Italian people. You had to respect the people that helped you and gave you work.
Mm-hmm.
They believed in that. That's how they were brought up in Italy, see.
How many brothers and sisters did you have? I'll start with some family background.
There was 9 boys and 1 girl in my mm-hmm. family. And during the flu of 1914 to 16, my dad lost 4 children.
Mm-hmm.
And them days, the doctor, the flu just ran away mm-hmm. with everybody. Matter of fact, I had to go to school with garlic around my neck.
Uh-huh. So you wouldn't get the flu?
Yeah, that's a fact.
Where did you go to school at that time?
Lowellville.
Where the Lowellville High School is?
Lowellville grade school, and then I graduated from the Lowellville High School.
Uh-huh.
And then I went to Youngstown State 1 year.
Mm-hmm. What year was that?
Back in 32 when uh-huh. Jones,
uh-huh.
he was the boss of Youngstown
yeah.
College. He was the Youngstown College.
Uh-huh. He was the, when you were growing up, what were the types of things you did as a boy? What did you do for your activities in Lowellville?
The only activity we had in Lowell was, you might say, go swimming in a dirty river
uh-huh.
or a creek or play marble. I mean, we didn't have nothing else
uh-huh.
small town. We were, matter of fact, when I was a kid, they were the Ku Klux Klan days.
Uh-huh.
When I was a kid, they used to burn the cross right here, the Ku Klux Klan did, right where I'm living now.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't have access to nothing.
Uh-huh.
The only thing we had access to, that we were immigrants, sons of immigrant parents, we had to make things ourselves to play with, like
mm-hmm.
you make a hopscotch or you make a roller skate out of broken
mm-hmm.
wheels, and we couldn't do nothing else with 10 kids in a family.
Mm-hmm. At that time, you were pretty well segregated, because I noticed from driving around Lowellville today, a lot of
yeah.
there's still a lot of Italian population on the south side of the river.
Yeah, well, the south side was all the steel mill workers.
Mm-hmm.
And the center of town was all the so-called Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And then the outskirts, that's where the immigrants
mm-hmm.
moved. And they expanded,
mm-hmm.
they went out.
Uh-huh.
You have to realize that in Lowell here, we had the Sharon Steel Hooper at one time,
mm-hmm.
a blast furnace, which employed hundreds of people.
Mm-hmm.
And we lost, 1958, we lost, I'd say 1,500 people in this
mm-hmm.
town when they moved the Sharon Steel Hooper and the blast
mm-hmm.
furnace. And the Y. Edison power plant we had on the east end of town,
mm-hmm.
see. And that's where all these immigrants come in with this town to work.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be the Irish people controlled this town at one time. And we kids, we went to school, even in the school class, we were told to sit on one side of the room because we were foreigners, see? And we had a lot of that. Matter of fact, when I hit high school, we never had a Catholic teacher teach school in Lowville. Mm-hmm. And the first Catholic teacher was Fanny Fantresco. Her brother run that Telestar restaurant up there in Youngstown, but she was the first Catholic girl to teach in Lowville.
Did they teach you English in school?
Yes.
Did your parents have they mastered it by then, English?
My father mastered it very well, because when I went to school, they sent me back home with my brother and I because we couldn't speak English. Mm-hmm. And then my father says, hey, look, I had three brothers older than me, and my father says, hey, look, he said, we have to learn to speak English to get along in this world. So my dad was more or less a philosopher and stuff like that.
What was his occupation?
My dad came here when he first came. He worked on the railroad, but then he went in the truck garden business. Mm-hmm. He worked in truck gardening business, and wintertime he'd go out and dig coal. Mm-hmm. But most of his life was spent in gardening.
Mm-hmm. What types of food did he raise?
Hothouse, greenhouse, and
hot peppers and tomatoes.
Oh,
and
yes, squatters, and then outside gardening, truck gardening they called it in them days.
Did you get involved in that business? Were you involved in?
We all did help in that, but then later on, my dad here in Lowville, these Italian people, especially, were proud people. They always wanted to get their kids to learn a trade. Uh-huh. And my father, now I was a bricklayer by trade. My oldest brother was a plumber, and that's how the Compact Plumbing started in Lowville. Mm-hmm. It's here yet. I have another brother. My dad made him learn the electrical trade. Uh-huh. One more painting. One more carpenter. He made all the six boys that were living then to follow a trade, and it worked out very well. I have a brother now. He had a big weld shop, machine shop in Fort Clinton. Mm-hmm. So it paid off what his theory was. But these people came from York. They had their theory. They believed in that. They believed in property. And if you had property, you were rich people. Mm-hmm. And you had to learn a trade.
When did most of the Italian immigrants come to Lowville?
Most Italian immigrants came to Lowville in the year from 1896 on, I would say. The first Italian to arrive and settle in Lowville was between 1882 and 1902. Mm-hmm. And then it was arriving later from 1902 to 1924. Mm-hmm. But your biggest bulk came in from 1902 on. Mm-hmm. That's when the steel mill started. See, we had the blast furnace there in Lowville that drew a lot of people. And that blast furnace forged steel for the Civil War, Spanish-American War, the First World War, the Second World War, and the Korean War. And they had to share the steel hoop there. Mm-hmm. And then at that time, that's when they built the canal here. Mm-hmm. And that drew all these. And the railroads were all being built then. And most of your ethnic groups came in that area.
Mm-hmm. What were the most Italian workers were steel workers then?
Most Italian workers were in the steel mill and the railroad. And they worked in the quarries, what they called the earthen quarry and the carbon quarry. Mm-hmm. A lot of them worked on the outskirts of Lowville in the two quarries, your railroads and your steel mill. Mm-hmm.
And the quarry workers, was there a bond with the quarry workers in Hillsville?
Yes. The quarries were all in Hillsville, Hilltown, and Carbon. And then you had one quarry on the north side of Lowville, they called it the old Earthen Quarry. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever work in that or know anybody that did?
Oh yes. I had a lot of friends worked in that. Uh-huh. It was hard work, all 10-12 hour work days in them days. Mm-hmm. Plenty of work in them days around here for everybody.
Mm-hmm. How did that change during the Depression? What being of Italian descent, do you think the Depression was harder on you than other people in this community?
The Depression was easier on the so-called Italian people for this reason. They all had an art in making gardens. Mm-hmm. Now my dad was in a truck garden, but all this property from here till three quarters of a mile up the road, he used to let all the people make gardens.
Mm-hmm.
And the only people who got to make the garden would be the Italians or the Slavs.
Mm-hmm.
You take the so-called Irish or English or so forth, or that, they'd sit on their rump and they wouldn't go out and do that type of work. And they used to make fabulous gardens. They had food to give away. And the Italian people were great in canned food and the smoking food. When I was a kid, I had to get peppers and thread them up and hang them up and dry, or get peaches or fruit. And that's what we had to do, is dry them up in the sun. And then you'd have them all wooden long to chew on.
Mm-hmm.
See, Italian people survived more. And then you hear the old story about, this is no lie, Italian people, they'd get flour sacks.
Mm-hmm.
And if you not with a girl, try to feel a girl, all you felt was flour sacks. They made all the girls under garments from flour sacks.
Uh-huh.
That's a fact, because it had names on them, couldn't come off the material.
Uh-huh.
So you made clothes that would be hidden.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the truth. These are times people knew how to survive.
Mm-hmm.
My mother, if I'd go shove my mother to buy chickens, my mother would get a chicken, and she'd get her two fingers and put them up the chicken's rear end. If she felt eggs in the chicken, they were the chickens you bought.
Mm-hmm.
And when you kill that chicken, you can bet your boots you find 5-6 eggs in that chicken. But the people from York were brought up that way, see.
Was there a strong tie? Could we say the Italian community stuck together?
Yes, very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Lowville, up till 1931, right after the Depression, we didn't have no elected officials in Lowville.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, I was one of the first ones to be elected on council. I was 21 years old, and that was back in 1932, see? And that's when the Italian people start getting in power.
Mm-hmm.
They had their kids graduating from school. Mm-hmm. They went to school. They went to college. They were educating their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Like my oldest brother, he started educating my dad, and my dad in turn educate the younger ones. I mean, it started revolving real fast, and that's when they start gaining knowledge of this and that. And today, in this time, most of your, well, you take like Conti, it's a big outfit. Electric Tech, it's from the Italian, Italian descent, and you're third and fourth generation.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all doing very well. You have people teaching Youngstown State from Lowville. That Mr. Dastoli and Mr. DeRusso, they're products from Lowville, from the DeRusso sausage.
Uh-huh.
You heard of that DeRusso sausage. Well, that's his dad.
Uh-huh. No kidding.
You see, it all works out that way.
Then is it pretty much broken up, or is it still together here in Lowville?
No. Lowville, they don't like to be said that we are Italians.
Mm-hmm.
We're Italian descent.
Uh-huh.
See, matter of fact, they lost a school levy here because a few years ago, one of the superintendents went out and said that if I get all the Italian votes in Lowville, I know we can pass the levy. Well, that didn't go over too good. I went up there and told them, hey, look, my kids are American. I was born here. I'm an American. I'm Italian descent.
Right.
That didn't go over too good. People don't like to be, they're proud of their heritage. They want to be Italian descent, but they don't want to be called Italian. They're American.
Right.
I was born here. My kids live in town. They're born here. They have children living in this town. It's third generation. See? Matter of fact, back when Roosevelt took office, the third year in office, I went down to school here, and the record shows, and I had them change. They had me down there like Steve Conti, Italian.
Mm-hmm.
We made them change that to Steve Conti, Italian descent, American. We changed all the records into school. Roosevelt passed a so-called law at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And them the problems we had, but we don't have that problem no more in this town. There is no problem between the so-called Italians or Americans or anything like that. We have one of the quietest communities around here.
Mm-hmm.
Like here at this building here, we have ethnic groups in this here. We have 44 apartments. And you go out here in the back now, everybody here has their lawn chairs outside.
Mm-hmm.
Never take them in at night. Their lawn chairs stay out there day and night. They don't lock their doors on the cars out here in the parking lot. Matter of fact, you go down to my daughter's house now, they're not home. I can send you down there now. you go up on their porch, open the door, walk right in. Doors are not locked. We were never brought up to lock doors in this town. You heard that before, maybe. I don't know. I think Mr. McBride taught the same thing, see. But the people are close-knit in this town because we took an awful licking and they lost all that population in Lowellville. And we have they're proud of their school. We got the highest, we pay the highest millage to school and taxes, you know. And they just want to keep your kids together, but they have a good school system. The record shows. And they're very proud people in this town. The majority of them are all Italian descent.
When you were a city councilman, what were some of the things going on in the 20s?
In the 20s?
Yeah. You said you were...
Yes, I was on council. I served on council under three different mayors.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the early 30s, 32, 33, we still had hothouses up this end of town and the south side. Well, we worked hard on them because we got the WPA to help us and so forth. And things like that. And we did, wasn't a whole lot we did do in them days. I mean, we had a good sewer system in this town. We used to buy electricity from Ohio Edison, retail it to the people, but we got rid of that because it was curtailing too much expense. All these fringe benefits were starting to come in and it was costing too much to keep that up. But overall picture, our crime rate was very, very low in this town. But you're always going to have a patent place in every town, you know.
Yeah.
And I can name them to if you want. No, but every community does have a patent place, you know, you're bound to have. But other than that, it's a very close-knitted town and they got wonderful people in this town. I mean, you take the old timers left in this town, you'd never think that at one time that you had the Ku Klux Klan control in this town, but they did at one time. We had to break it away little by little.
Wait, how did that occur? How did you break it away?
Yeah. Well, they had to burn the crosses up here, and if you walked down a street, you had to move off the sidewalk with some of these people. And you know, the only way we looked at, like I told you before, we went up and had our system changed in the school. We elected Italian the young kids in office. I was the youngest president of council, I think, in the state at that time. And things like that, we just kept, and then we told everybody, hey, look, you have to better yourself. If you don't have a rug in the house, you keep that floor clean. That's it. You're kept clean. Don't have to have a rug on the floor as long as you keep it clean. But we brought people, we preached that. Then we had the Louis Liardi, he was an immigrant, he was elected mayor, and he preached that. And the Catholic religion helped too, because the Catholic religion was kind of strict at that time, and we were told that you have to better yourself if you want to belong to the Catholic religion and if you want to have a good community. And it worked with the people. Even today, now, you can see these kids, they take care of things in this town. You don't have this football field is used every day by all groups. You don't see them damaging nothing here. You don't see beer cans and stuff like that down there. They were brought up that way from way back. That's how we had to better ourselves.
Now, the Ku Klux Klan and people like that, were they from Louisville or did they come down from Youngstown?
No, we had from Louisville. See, at one time they had a list. Roosevelt, some organization, they had declared themselves that they belonged to the Ku Klux Klan. If you're, I don't know if you're familiar with that or not. They did at one time. And I was fortunate enough to get a book, and I just about knew who everybody in town were. Some of my good friends, I mean, they were, but they just had to follow the orders that they had. And they knew that we had we were getting a big group of immigrants in this town, and they all liked to burn the cross up in this area here, and this property belonged to my dad. And we'd tell them, no, you can't burn the cross there. We'd go to the sheriff or someplace, and at that time Stone was sheriff. He was a good man himself, Adam Stone, and you couldn't get no help. But that was a time when they had the Flame and Circle in Niles fighting the Ku Klux Klan in Niles. They organized a group out there they called the Flame and Circle. I don't know if you heard about that or not. See, well, my uncle, he was instrumental with that Flame and Circle in Niles. And they even come down here and brought people from here to go up there when they had the big parade, like the streetcars mm-hmm. up there, and my uncle served time over that. I think uh-huh. they served the year.
Uh-huh.
Like when they called the militia him mm-hmm. in Niles. That was all a fight between the Flaming Circle and Ku Klux Klan uh-huh. burning crosses. If they wouldn't have burned the crosses, you wouldn't have no trouble. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It was just the idea that these people were born so-called Catholics in New mm-hmm. York, and then they see a cross burning. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Yeah. It's hard to take.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was most of the trouble. Now, after they got over that, I give Roosevelt a lot of credit for that, and even up to Truman years. And they kind of broke that mm-hmm. up some, see. I know it helped us here. I wouldn't, a little town like Grover, this little town won't take a back seat to nobody mm-hmm. at anything now. They had wonderful people in this town, I think.
Aside from the changes in like getting rid of the Ku Klux Klan and the improvement of the economic status of people of Italian descent, how has the town changed physically? I mean, like, what buildings do you remember that are now gone? You know, what churches have burned down?
We lost quite a bit here.
Mm-hmm.
When they moved the Sheriff's Steel Hoop and the Black Furnace,
mm-hmm.
we lost close to 1,500 people. Mm-hmm. We lost many business establishments. Mm-hmm. See, in the old days, bootlegging days, Lowell had a lot of bootleggers.
Mm-hmm.
This town was full of bootleggers mm-hmm. in the old days. Well, the bootleggers were the foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else would make the boots, mm-hmm. see? And that gave us a bad reputation mm-hmm. in them days. Then when Prohibition came back, we had all kind of business in this town. We used to have a lumber yard, three gasoline stations, mm-hmm. and they had McBride Motors, Sun and Lighters, Craig's, and we lost five grocery stores, mm-hmm. and we lost all that stuff, because mm-hmm. everybody was moving on. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, Howes Instrumental and burning down all told 21 homes. And three business establishments, we just raised them down, mm-hmm. set them on fire, got rid of them. They've been empty for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing left here is just a little building up there, shows that there's a mill over here. But we lost all kind of works down here. We took a terrific licking.
Mm-hmm. This is in the late 50s?
From 56 to 58 on. 58, mm-hmm. 59 were the start of it. We lost what Youngstown and the other communities are going through now, we went through it here in Lowellville. Mm-hmm. In order to cope with it in here, Lowellville, when we lost all this stuff, we held meetings. We used to have them in the cellar at my house where I used to live before.
Mm-hmm.
And we coped with the people. We asked them who's out of work, who lost their jobs. They wanted work here and there. We started a program, and believe it or not, in 2 years' time, we had practically everybody back to work.
Hmm. That's good.
That's right. We didn't get no help from the union, no help from the federal government, no help from the church coalitions, no place. What they're going through now, we went through in Lowellville. It turned out that Lowellville is now more or less a residential mm-hmm. residential town. Our biggest industry is the Falkland Foundry, which they had mm-hmm. trouble in Youngstown, they came to Lowellville. Mm-hmm. Well, Conti's, they're big, Conti Plumbing and Heating and so forth. And you had the Rex Machine moved in now. Mm-hmm. The Rex Machine, the fellow by the name of Butch, we went down there and we put the building up free of charge. Mm-hmm. Made all the blocks in there just to get an industry in down there, which turned out to be a big outfit Rex mm-hmm. Machine. But we did all that work just to get somebody in here.
Mm-hmm.
We were hit hard. But thank the Lord, it worked out real good.
It seems out today the communities, well, Lowellville seems quieter and more serene, but it seems also everybody's a little bit older. I mean, when I drove through, I didn't see too many younger people.
You have more senior citizens in this town uh-huh. because these people won't give their homes up. They mm-hmm. keep them up nice. Mm-hmm. That's their pride and joy. At their castle, you know, you take any ethnic groups from Europe come over mm-hmm. here, if they have a home, I don't care how old it is, you see how they keep it up. Mm-hmm. You've seen that in your own experience. Mm-hmm. I mean, they'll work on it, and they, mm-hmm. that's the same way here. Majority of them are senior citizens in this town.
Mm-hmm.
They were born and raised here, the kids get married and they move out of town, there's nothing here mm-hmm. for them. Right now, it's hard to buy property in Louisville because the older people hang on to it. And there's no place to build anymore. You know, there's nothing down there to keep the younger people. But we have a lot of younger people here. So when they get married, they'll get an apartment until they find something else, see? I have two kids. I have a daughter as a city nurse in Struthers. My boy lives in Youngstown. He's in charge of plumbing at Youngstown State. But I mean, you'd be surprised how well these people didn't get come out of Louisville. But there's nothing here. Just like you say, nothing Youngstown anymore. Yeah. You hear that?
Yeah.
Well, we went through that song and dance here for years.
What attracted your parents here in the first place?
My parents were brought here because he's looking for work on the railroad.
Well, did he know somebody here?
He's working in Pittsburgh, and then at that time, Andy Carnegie and John D. Rockefeller and Mellon, they controlled the world, let's face it, or this country rather. And they were building railroads here, starting the steel mills here, and they'd bring these people up to work in camps and on the railroad. My dad came to Louisville, he found a group of his own people here from Naples, Italy. So he said, hey, he parked his suitcase here and he went back to Italy and met my mother and told her he was a big shot here. He had a big business and she married him. She came here and lived in a one-room apartment.
What year was this now? 1898, you said?
1898, around that when he came here.
Where was your house, or his house originally, the first house to have?
South Side. Born on the South Side, Lowell. The old homestead we have up here yet. This is all the Conti property. We donated all this property for this high-rise. My dad, between my dad and then my nephew, he accumulated a lot of property, like all this hillside, a lot of area in here. Then my older brother took over. Now my nephew, this Contact Corporation, they own a lot of this property all around here.
What do you remember about growing up in that house? Like maybe, say at Christmas time. How was your Christmas? What was your Christmas like?
Well, my Christmas time, I can always remember, was beautiful because we will not cut our own Christmas tree. They just make popcorn balls and stuff like that. But my dad bought us three Montgomery Ward Savage shotguns. And we were just little tots, didn't need license in them days. And we used to go out and shoot our wild duck, a lot of wild turkeys around here. And we'd shoot our quail, and we'd get all our own game. Our Christmas were beautiful because our mothers made all baked stuff in the old oven, outside oven, and she'd make the bread first, but then she wouldn't put the wild game fowl in the oven. It'd kill the aroma of the bread. And the stove in the kitchen was used to bake wild game. You'd get that smell for two blocks around. You know, your Christmas were fabulous here. All we put on our tree was popcorn balls, and then when they sold oranges, you got that paper you'd put around the oranges, and you'd make ornaments with them. And then on a holiday, we all had outhouses in them days, and our toilet paper was served with a catalog. Everybody used catalogs. But then on a holiday, my mother would always save all that fancy paper from the fruit in case you got company that didn't use. People laugh about that, but that's the truth. You know, that them outhouses. You went fast in wintertime, come out of there fast in the summertime because the heat. But the holidays are often beautiful because you didn't have nothing else to look forward to. You know, you look forward to Christmas and Easter. What else were, you know? But then in Louisville here, we were fortunate. They this is the 19th celebration of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. That's a patron saint. That's story so far goes that Our Lady of Mount Carmel was Jesus' mother. They saw her at this Mount Carmel with a little mountain. Okay, that's the patron saint, a lot of these people in town, and they have the celebration every year. This is the 90th year. And years ago, they had this, used to have this celebration on a boat in the river. And they'd shoot the fireworks from the boat, see? And it's a big thing. They have what they call this baby doll dance, I used to do that baby doll nest. They build a big baby doll, put fireworks all around and so forth, and they shoot it off. And it was a big thing. This river, even at that time with the steel mills, when I was a kid, it was dirty, but we used to use this river, even with canoes and everything.
To swim?
We used to swim in that dirty water. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Matter of fact, this Mahone River has a history of its own here. Harold Bell Wright used to come up this canal. Maybe you heard this story. He used to come up here, and then he used to go up here at the old Earthen Homestead, and he wrote a couple of his articles from here. But Esther Hamilton just had an article on about Esther Hamilton. I mean about Harold Bell Wright when he used to come up the old canal.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, right now, their Historic Society is working with Wright. They're trying to get the old flour mill and canal, maybe you heard about it, the approach down here, dug out and see what's left in there. And I think it's the funds, we try to get some federal funds to help, but I don't know how they did on it. But that's how far back this goes.
You mentioned the holidays were of major importance. Was the Catholic Church a pillar in your life?
Yes. Louisville has four churches now, but the Catholic Church is the largest and the richest too. I mean, they do very, very well. The Catholic Church has been the leader in the whole community, even today. Whatever help they need for anything, the Catholic Church is in a position to donate to it, because they donate all the facilities they have, because they have it, the people. Catholic Church have their own way of collecting. If it ain't big, they'll get money some other way. It played a big part in this time.
Then after Mass, you went to Mass on Sunday? Then was it a special time? Did you have a big dinner or something like that?
You mean every Sunday? Or?
Yeah, after Mass.
To go home?
Yeah,
for your time.
When you went home, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was your big day, biggest day of the week. You always had that big macaroni and meatballs, and big salads or chicken. That was the biggest day. You always look forward for. You had to go to church. I bet you can count the people in your hands that were Italian, that Italian descent, didn't go to church. You can count them on your hands. That was a big thing. And if you were mischievous in church, if the priest saw you, he'd call you right out.
No kidding.
Oh, you got it when you went home.
Huh.
Yeah, it was a big thing. I'll tell you, I think we respected a priest more than we respected the teacher, police, or anybody else. I think the ethnic people were brought up that way more. They were the best people we had. For me, being a Catholic, was a priest. They were the best people today. They tell, they call the cops pigs, or they call the teachers pricks, and this and that. But I haven't seen too many people go and call a preacher or a priest or something like that, So even today, to me, I think you're the best policeman you have.
Did you have church youth organizations and that?
Yeah.
We got together and played softball or football or something like that?
Yeah, we've all had them little organizations out here. Yeah, we had Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts have been starting to break away. Today, I think it all came about with too much radio and TV and everything. Prior to TV days and everything, Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts were big things in small communities. Every church had their own. You had competitive spirit going on. But today, if it isn't cable TV, it's TV. And buy these hot cars today, you can buy a car, no problem at all. In them days, you didn't have that.
You mostly use a train?
Oh, yeah.
Streetcars? What are some of the things that you remember about
the train?
Riding the trains and the streetcars?
Well, streetcars, you wouldn't be this, but I could ride a streetcar, get on a streetcar in Lowellville, go to Newcastle and get a transfer and go to Elwood City. Get on a streetcar in Lowellville, go to Youngstown, get a transfer, go right up Andrews Avenue, go to Sharon. I have to get a streetcar in Youngstown, and you go to East Liverpool just by transfers. for 10 to 15 cents, you can go to East Liverpool or go to Sharon or go to Elwood City just by transfers on streetcars. It used to be that when Pennsylvania was dry and Lowell was wet, I don't know if you heard them stories or not, Lowell had 27 saloons. Mm-hmm. And the people from Pennsylvania would all come over to Lowellville, ride the streetcars, and they'd get boozed up. And then the streetcars would make the last run, like 12, 15. Uh-huh. They'd just load everybody in the streetcar eastward instead of putting them in jail. Uh-huh. Just throw them in like cattle and get them the hell out of Lowellville. But I remember here when I first took office back in the early 30s, I found the logbook and I gave it, me and was a county commissioner in Newcastle, and I gave it to the county commissioner just to show them all the people that got pissed in Lowellville coming up here and drinking on the weekend. They all got a big charge up. Mm-hmm. All the judges in that area, they're all here, you know, they were young. Mm-hmm. It's just like today, who's running your country? Yeah. The kids in the 60s with the long hair, the protesters, they're operating your country today, am I right?
Yeah.
See, it's the same thing then. Uh-huh. We had the same thing, only it repeated.
Uh-huh.
The streetcars was a great, great life in this whole area. Oh, I miss them. I bet they wish they had them back.
Yeah.
The trains, we had four runs here, and they had one train just up there in the quarry, they called it the Hill Run.
Mm-hmm.
Get all the limestone and bring down to the steel mills. And then you had what they call the cap limit on the B&O. Mm-hmm. You used to come down there. You heard about that, and maybe you could tell time by passenger train. That's how effective it was. You could tell time when the cap limit came through. Just like when Coolidge died, they brought his water in the railroad. Here, people all lined up along the railroad to see. Today it's all airplane. You don't see nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And in them days, you had four runs through Lowellville, and then all you hauled in them days were coal and cattle. When the cattle train came down, man, but then when they hauled coal, and you don't have diesels, and you had smoke coming from the steel mills, smoke coming from the trains, if you was eating an ice cream cone, you had to cover your ice cream cone because the cinders had come all over it. Yeah, everybody said in them days, if you had cinders on your porch, that was a good time, wealth, right? Smoke from the mills.
Yeah.
See, not today. They want a lot of
here. Yeah, no cinders today.
Yeah. But the railroad played a great part. Oh, my God. That was our transportation, too. You'd walk to Youngstown like most fellows would. We'll see some girls maybe in Lassenville. Then you'd walk up. And then coming home, you'd ride down over the hill and hop a freight to Lowellville. Uh-huh. We always hop freights. And if you want to go to I-State near the quarries, you'll hop the Hill Run. Everybody used to hop trains. And then I thought people got their coal during the Depression. You'd jump on the boxcar down the lower end of town, and you'd pile your coal up on the boxcar, and then when you got about here, you'd kick all the coal off and jump off. Because the trains come in slow. They had to slow up here, you know, on different tracks and in the different parts, see. Mm-hmm. But we used to kid the people. You can get top of car special or Kentucky coal, any kind of coal you wanted. But that's how people used to get their coal here. Yeah. Oh, railroad is a big thing, and we had like four lines coming through Lowellville.
Did you ever take them on a long trip?
Trains?
Yeah.
You could ride. You could go to Cleveland at that time. Our biggest treat was you'd get $2. You'd pay a dollar to ride the train to Cleveland and back, 50 cents to get in the ball game, and 50 cents to buy a hamburger. That's a big treat on Sunday. You can go all over for a dollar on the trains. That's when everybody's go to Cleveland to see a ball game. Mm-hmm. Even Buck,
you can't beat that.
No,
this is when you're working. You're working as a gardener at that time.
Yeah, I worked as a gardener, and then when I got out of high school, like I said, I went to Youngstown State for a while, and then I got a job. Chief Duke gave me a job because I was the president of council in Lowellville, uh-huh. and they wanted to expand down uh-huh. to Pennsylvania, and they wanted property rights, uh-huh. so they gave me a job to keep my mouth shut. Uh-huh. So it turned out that I became a bricklayer, uh-huh. and I was supervision for 23 years. And right now, I don't know, I think this Karen guy from the Vindicator, somebody, they've been calling up, they want to interview me concerning the blast furnace mm-hmm. in the cattle plant. I lined every blast furnace there, every one of them, mm. and they want a history of it, about the blast furnace and everything. I used to have a lot of Youngstown State boys mm-hmm. working for me, and then they used to write a theme of what they learned working during mm-hmm. the vacation in the summer months mm-hmm. in the steel mills. I had quite a few of them used to be in my gang.
How long did you work there? I mean, you said 20-some years, but what years were they?
I started in 1933, and in 1969, I fell out. I caught an infection in my knees, typhoid. Mm-hmm. It was a salmonella infection in the knees, and I've been laid up since. Mm-hmm. I've been handicapped. I've been on crutches since 1969.
Then, did you work during the Depression? Or were you laid off at the time?
During the Depression, we walked the streets.
Okay.
We rolled our little cigarettes, and that's about all you could do. You'd buy that Target tobacco, different things, and we loved to work the streets. And then I got a job. Handling relief for Poland Township. Uh-huh. That was a big experience. I ran for Township Clerk and I was defeated, and then they gave me a job as handling relief. And that was an experience in itself. You got both sides of the, mm-hmm. the story when you work on places mm-hmm. like that. It was tough. Like I said, the easiest people that that survived Depression were the ethnic people, because they knew how to mm-hmm. can, make guards, mm-hmm. and make their own clothes. That's the truth.
Mm-hmm. Were there a lot of hobos at that time? A lot of bums riding the railroad?
Yes. If you stand here, you see the railroad cars go by, you'd see dozens and dozens mm-hmm. of hobos on them, because we had all these railroads coming mm-hmm. through town. My dad, we had we called it the homestead. Every year we had a couple people, they were used to stop off and come mm-hmm. up my dad's house to spend the night. Mm-hmm. They knew they'd get a meal. Mm-hmm. These people knew just where to go. But we've had different people there for years. I can remember when I was a kid. But during the Depression, you had them, I'd say hundreds of them you'd mm-hmm. see every day on the railroads. You have to live near the railroad mm-hmm. in them days to believe it. Today, all you see in the railroads, what do you see? You see
empty track, that's about
cars, yeah. automobiles, and that doggone chemical tanks.
Yeah.
Everything coming from Three River and different places. We had a meeting with Disney here not long ago concerning that. Mm-hmm. If something happens here, where are we going?
Yeah. Well, about the Second World War, do you remember the troop trains going through town?
Oh, yeah, the troop trains were the biggest thing there was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. At that time, I was 4F because I was supervision in the Mason Department. They needed construction people. So they in turn had me work on draft board mm-hmm. number 10. And the railroad, I think, kept all the troops going in this mm-hmm. country. That's the only way you can transport troops mm-hmm. was the railroads. You'd see cars after cars mm-hmm. full of. Mm-hmm. It's hard to visualize mm-hmm. how many troop trains came through this town on this B&O especially, mm-hmm. right across the country. Mm-hmm. It's hard to visualize it. Then one time I saw a whole train come through this town of all Italian prisoners. Mm-hmm. They brought them all up to Port Clinton or Camp Perry. And they all came through here, mm-hmm. see. At that time, immigrants.
Okay.
If somebody could read it to you someday, you just tape it all now, you'd have a whole story about everything in Lowell, but that's how I never did.
You mentioned earlier about wearing the garlic around your neck.
Yeah.
And girls had underwear made of flower bikes. Other things like that, that people like myself in their 20s never heard of. What are some of those other type of customs
I remember the day when if you had the flu or a different illness, that they used to put signs on the house,
uh-huh.
and then they used to hire a man as a policeman, maybe mm-hmm. for not our dollar a day or so, uh-huh. and they'd walk up and down the street and make sure nobody went and knocked on the houses. Uh-huh. They did that in those days. A lot of that smallpox went around yeah. in this area, and mm-hmm. And especially in the ethnic people, uh-huh. they didn't have facilities, they did other places, see? We had the outside Johns and everything, and mm-hmm. that's what they had to do.
Who did you rely on? Sorry.
What's that?
Who did you rely on for a doctor?
Well, we had, here in Lowellville, we had an old Syrian doctor, Dr. Bedell.
Mm-hmm.
He took care of more ethnic people than anybody mm-hmm. else. But they had many doctors, well, from 1920 on, I can remember different doctors like Smith and Bedell and different ones. Mm-hmm. But that's what they did. And then in this town, this is interesting. Wherever you had a so-called greenhorns moving in, they all had borders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, say that, and then the borders would pay the landlord either buy the food,
mm-hmm.
and she would cook the food for them, or else you'd charge them so much a day.
Mm-hmm.
And these borders, say that, just like one case I know down there, Mrs. Leeson, she had a two-story building, and she had 30-some boarders,
mm-hmm.
and she had her own family. She had to cook breakfast for the people who went to work on mm-hmm. daytime, feed the people committed dinner or supper time, and then she had to feed the people not to work at 3 o'clock, make their lunches, and do that at 11 o'clock again, coming and going.
Hmm.
Otherwise, they spent all their time
just feeding people.
Yeah. And making lunches. That's how they the borders were all raised that way. That was odd. I mean, it's hard. You got a lot of girls got pregnant that mm-hmm. way too. You know, in broke custom family. But
now, where was that boarding house at?
On the south side of Lowellville.
Is it near where you lived?
No, I live on this one.
Okay.
My dad lived there for a short while, and then he moved, was a country here.
Okay.
We weren't part of Lowell then, we were on the outskirts of Lowell.
Okay.
See, here's something interesting. For sanitary purposes, every home was provided with a privy or outhouse, which the Everett is called buckhouse.
Uh-huh.
That's a time when they called for an outhouse.
Hmm.
But whatever, all the questions you're asking me, it's all in here, believe me.
Okay.
Here is something that's interesting, you should keep a record of. Even when you use 100 pound, a pound of flour would produce enough loaves to fill the oven. The loaves were large round loaves weighing 2 pounds each and retailed at 20 cents per loaf. In addition to bread, the ovens were also used during Easter and Christmas, at which time Easter bread and other fine cookies and pastries were made. To heat the ovens, split railroad ties, driftwood picked up along the riverbank, and other fallen trees. Also, when the women baked bread, they made what today had become famous among Americans, the old pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Our mother made that in the old outside mm-hmm. ovens. You got a big long paddle,
uh-huh.
you made a round pizza, you got the big long paddle, that was our job, shove it in the oven. When it was cooked, you threw tomato sauce mm-hmm. over it. Now you walk down the street eating it.
Was it a community oven?
No, everybody
had their own outside oven and an inside oven?
Well, say I had an oven.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 3 or 4 neighbors would use that oven.
Mm-hmm.
But as a rule, maybe one in so many had an oven.
Mm-hmm.
And you built these ovens. I got the point when I was a kid, I know mm-hmm. how to build them.
Mm-hmm.
You won't believe this, but the ovens were round. And I remember when my dad patched my, our oven, I call it. My dad crawled inside, and he stood there with his back,
mm-hmm.
and I went on the outside and moved the loose bricks on top, put new bricks in, and he was inside with his shoulder mm-hmm. holding them up.
Huh.
Yeah. But, well, there's a lot of good stories in here. I got all this information, most of it was handed down, and I wrote an early history way back in when I was in high school. I started writing about the history of the school mm-hmm. and so forth, and I compiled all this stuff and I put it together a few years ago, and I went to the library and got some of it. But
who were some of the interesting people you remember at, you know, when you were growing up or
well,
from
here,
Louisville? Or?
Here in Louisville, we had well, a lot of interesting people you probably wouldn't know, but not going to the church and the minister of that, but the people right from Louisville, we've had a number of doctors and this and that. Clinton Jackson was from Louisville. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, Clinton Jackson, I served on council with Clinton Jackson mm-hmm. in Louisville. He goes back a long ways here. And, well, the Fentons, he was tied in with West Point, and the old Varley family, they had teachers in that family mm-hmm. and so forth. They all came from Louisville. Mm-hmm. We had quite a few people immigrated from this town that did good. Our kid Delicio, he was a character in this town. He used to be Secretary of the Republican Party.
Uh-huh.
And his son-in-law, Phil Rogers, used to be at Ohio State.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you heard that name or not.
No, I haven't.
He turned out to be a Republican chairman in North Mahoney County. He has a boy now. I was Father Rogers in mm-hmm. Mount Carmel Church in Girard. See, it's that's how many generations mm-hmm. came from Louisville.
Hmm. One of them.
But maybe I do it. I had some names down here that I have all the names of superintendents here in Louisville had. Some prominent names all around Youngstown, like the Rick Seckers, the Moomwaws, and Rickards. They're all were tied in with Louisville.
Was the Black Hand present in Louisville?
Yes, not in trial right in Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
The Black Hands were right on the outskirts of Louisville, mm-hmm. up in Hilltown and so forth. That's when you heard the story about when they brought the boxcars mm-hmm. in and they filled them all up. Well, we had Louisville people that belonged
mm-hmm.
to the Erie Nation, which is headquartered up there. Mm-hmm. But we had our own people. We knew that. Belonged to that organization in here, but we were more or less kind of a small outfit, and mm-hmm. they wouldn't put in a headquarters mm-hmm. here. But you can bet your boots they belonged to them,
yeah.
with the headquarters up in the hill.
Yeah.
At that time, we had in the old bootlegging days, we had quite a few people were murdered in this town, mm-hmm. in the bootlegging days with the Black Hands. That was really a gave that kind of people in Louisville a mm-hmm. few years a hell of a bad name. Because everybody you talk to, they say, oh, you're from Louisville, that's where you got all the Black Hands, see? Wherever you had a group of Italian people together, you were sure that there were some Black Hands at that time in the organization. Matter of fact, right down here, we had a home down there that at that time, Al Capone came down to visit.
Uh-huh.
Well, we didn't know Al Capone, he was prominent as he was in them days. You know, he became more prominent yeah. after he got picked up and put in jail.
Yeah, he did.
And also at that time, I'll always remember when he came, then I remember the time that Lillian Gish,
uh-huh.
she was an old movie yeah. actress, and she played in The Silent Sister, one of the mm-hmm. things, I forgot what, but she was had a boyfriend was in that
uh-huh.
Black Hand gang. I remember the day she came to Louisville, and my mother cooked
mm-hmm.
the meal for these people. My mother's a great cook. And my mother, I'll never forget, my mother said, she's a movie actor. Her name Gish. I never knew who the hell Lily the Gish was, so years after.
Yeah,
but at that time, a movie actor, they ran around with these characters. Mm-hmm. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
They had the money to for Splendor, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we had them. We had them in Louisville. We had our share of the bombing in this town, from bootlegging and so forth. There for about 5-6 years, that gave us a hell of a smear.
Hmm.
But then, like it did every place else, it broke it up. It brought the more or less the Ku Klux Klan in at that time, mm-hmm. too, you know.
So were the Ku Klux Klan and the Black Hand are going at it?
Yeah, it was. They called themselves the Flame and Circle, but you know who was back up.
Yeah.
Who gave him the money?
Mm.
See, well, it was pretty radical in them days between the two sides. But then we were always told in school and in church, you know, Americanism, and our fathers always said, "Hey, you people are Italians. You have to better yourself." Mm. We always were brought up that way, and I always told my kids that. I'm the only one, but I belong to Italian organizations. And that's what they thought. Matter of fact, back in the middle 30s, I used to be able to read and talk Italian good. Mm-hmm. Harry McBride can tell you. I used to teach these people to come over here and never had papers. Mm-hmm. And I used to give them lessons to become a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to have classes. I did that all during the Roosevelt administration. Mm-hmm. I helped quite a few of them get their citizenship papers. And I bring them up to school, and it worked out good. Oh yeah, I went back quite a few of them. Matter of fact, just to show you how prejudiced things were, back in 1927, I was going to go into high school. We used to graduate from grade school, and I wanted football. We knew what football was, and we knew what baseball was. And I went to school with a petition, telling them what the school board, and I told them that here's a petition, we want football to go to the school. They called, got a hold of the police, he had no hotmobile.
Uh-huh.
The police come up, took my dad down to school, and my dad kicked my rear end and sent me home. They called me a Bolshevik because I circulated a petition to get football in Louisville. We got football.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And after that, I explained to my dad, and then my dad backed me up on it, and we went around and we forced a lot of names. That's how we got football in Louisville. In 1927, we had our first team in 28. Because they, at that time, if you were either a WOP or Black Hand or something, you know, but it worked out good. We had some of the greatest football players in this town, the greatest coaches like Paul Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
They all came here from Louisville. We had good athletes from Louisville. There was something here.
I was also told that you had some maps of Louisville.
Which, geez, I gave them all away.
Okay.
You can get them down to Village Administration in Louisville.
Okay, so I just wanted to look at them and see what you have.
Oh, yeah, you can get them from... I used to be the building inspector. I had everything here. Then when I sold my home, I moved in the apartment here. I got rid of everything. But they're real good. Just fill out there. You tell him I sent you down. He's a village administrator. You can't touch him this week.
Okay.
On account of the big celebration.
Okay.
You can't, believe me, you can't touch nobody in this town.
All right.
Was you on the south side of the river yet?
Yeah, I was over there this morning.
Oh, you saw all the...
Yeah, like a big carnival, in fact.
Yeah. And they're all busy for that. Mm-hmm. It's going to be there all week.
Okay.
But they're real nice. I told the mayor I was going to talk to you, and the mayor told me, Al Russo, that if anything you wanted, any information you wanted, he said, just see, if you want to write the name down, Mrs. Slavin, she's Donna Slavin, she's at the City Hall.
Okay.
And tell him that Steve Thompson, Mayor Russo sent you, or the village administrator,
okay.
Alfano, Phil Alfano.
P-H?
A-L. Alfano. His first name is Phil.
Oh, okay.
A-L-F-A-N-O. Phil Alfano.
ALF, I know.
Yeah. He's a village administrator.
Okay.
And you see him, he has a place on the south side, or maybe at the city hall, even the chief of police, four.
Okay.
And you tell me, talk to the mayor and, or Steve Conte, Ralph Conte, there is no problem. He'll give you all the information you want.
Okay.
I did talk to the mayor about it Sunday.
Okay. Is there anything that I didn't cover that you want to add about life growing up in Louisville? About the customs, people?
Oh, you'll find it all in here, believe me.
Okay.
Believe me, if you can get this, read it, and then if you want to just take it from there and put it in there.
Okay.
You're welcome to take this with you.
Right.
You'll find everything you want in here, believe me.
Okay, good enough.